phenomenal beings with the power to communicate. Review movies and television. Bring you the news and say things funny. Streaming to the internet at the speed of light, 96 KBS. For the next few hours, the superhost, Anime Mistress of the Dorks, Dave with a unique perspective. And their core mission, of righting that which is wrong, educate the ignorant, and say things funny. You can join the show on the website at geekworldradio.com. Begin.
Hey guys, you're listening to Geek World on Indie 100, The Point in El Ave. We are your superhero superhosts, Anime, Mistress of the Dork, and the man who never stops talking, Dave! Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com, and be sure to check out our website, geekworldradio.com, for all the great stuff that's there. Check out all the stuff on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/geekworldradio. Be sure to subscribe, because we've got all sorts of awesome stuff up, and now that Comic-Con's coming back up, we'll have more.
Yes, we will have more.
Indeed.
Oh, man. I am so excited about this week's show.
Me too.
Okay, I can't tell you. Okay, so this is the thing. I'm always the guy at work that is to stand around the old water cooler or whatever they do. I guess water cooler is still a thing. Most people usually congregate around the old water because, you know, we need it and all.
In the kitchen or yeah. Know, wherever you congregate.
Exactly, the giant barn, whatever. You know, the main thing about that is, like, I just want to tell people what they should be watching, what they should be doing with their life. Mostly what they should be watching, reading, all this is, like, I get a lot of joy out of recommending dope things to people.
Yeah.
Because this is the thing, you know, you and I, and part of it's just me, but also part of it's because of the show, we go down all kinds of paths of the entertainment world. A lot of it's geeky, but sometimes we're like archaeologists trying to find the geeky dinosaur bones and something that's like normal, you know? It's like, oh, look, there's a Murder, She Wrote that has a video, VR video game episode, you know what I mean?
Murder, She Wrote, geeky!
Yeah, who knows? But anyway, my point being is the fact that we love finding those gems and recommending them to people. Mm-hmm. And that's a kind of big thing throughout this show. But today's show, it's about, what is it about, Anime?
I mean, that's just it. We're recommending some things to you that for one reason or another you might not have seen. We're going to go with like some anime that people that aren't into anime might like. We're going to go into some movies that, you know, you might have just missed over the years.
But this show is for everybody.
Yeah.
This show is our big recommendation show.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find something in this show that you're going to check out, and you're going to love it, and you're going to write to us, and you'll be like, guys, you changed my life. You're like, now I have a wife and kids and a car and a house, and it's all because I watch My Hero Academia.
Which we can just start with
and
that.
And I'll be like, yeah, that makes sense. So we have giant lists of movies, TV shows, comic books, anime, whatever. We're just going to start going.
Yeah.
So, like, get out your pens. Get out your pencils. Nobody carries a pencil anymore. Stay with the pens. Actually, no one even has pens anymore.
Yeah, just type it into your phone.
Just type it into your phone while you're listening, okay? Just picture that or whatever you do on iPhones. Let's make this happen.
Let's do it.
By the way, I'm also leaning heavy on our analytics because we started looking at our analytics and I found out that a majority of our listeners use Android devices.
Ooh.
What? How crazy is that?
I know.
I did not expect that, did you?
I mean, I use an Android.
There you go. Boom. Mm-hmm. All right. So, we're going to start off with an anime that you and I have been getting into, actually thanks to our friends over at Funimation who sent us some great stuff. And that is an anime called My Hero Academia.
Yep.
OMG. Now, what's really funny is this was like one of those situations where somebody at my job a few weeks ago was like, have you been watching this anime? And I was like, no. We had gotten the DVDs, and I'd wanted to watch it, but I hadn't yet.
I kept seeing memes about it online and stuff, and I'm just like, this seems like something I should be watching, but we just didn't have the time, didn't have the inclination at that point, and then all of a sudden it was like, what should we do tonight? My Hero yeah. Academia.
It was time. And also part of the reason I really wanted to see it was that someone said, or maybe I just ascertained that it was kind of like that movie Sky High.
Yeah.
That we like very much, which is also one of the things we recommend. But basically, if you haven't seen Sky High, it's essentially a movie about a world full of superheroes, mm-hmm. and there's a high school of superheroes, and the main character is the son of two big superheroes, but he doesn't have any superpowers.
Yeah, that's Sky High.
And that's what Sky High is about. Mm-hmm. Now, My Hero Academia, it's not too different. So basically, it takes place in this world where 80% of the people in this world have some sort of ability.
Yeah.
They're called quirks.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that ability could be, you know, as simple as, like, seeing really far, really clearly.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, you know, putting up a force field.
Yeah.
It could be shooting fire from your hands.
It could be, yeah. It could be any extent. Yeah. You could be, like, the best X-Men, or you could be, like, the silliest characters from, like, a Teen Titans episode yeah. where they're only apathetic characters.
My finger. Bend all the way backwards. That yeah. is my superpower.
Yeah. And so you get your main character, right? And he is this boy who he really, really wants to be a hero. Mm-hmm. Literally all he wants to do is be basically Superman. And when I say basically Superman, it's because there's a character in this who is in essence a Superman-like character. Yeah. So there's this character named All Might, and mm-hmm. he's the guy who comes in. He's giant. He's got a big smile on his face. Don't worry, I'm here now. Mm-hmm. He's got super strength, and he's the guy that everyone looks up to.
He fights for justice. Yes. He's the number one hero. He's what all heroes should aspire to be, in a way.
Yeah, exactly. And so our main character really wants to be just like All Might,
yeah.
but the problem is, in this world, you discover by the age of 4 whether or not you have a quirk, whether or not yeah. you have a power.
And that being said, if your parents have powers, then you are pretty much insured to have at least one of their powers.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
However, you know, our poor main character yeah. here, Midoriya, his parents both have powers.
Yeah.
He was born with none.
Yeah, yeah. Poor Midoriya, and literally all he wants to do is be a superhero. That's mm-hmm. all he wants, and he has no powers. And so instead, he becomes like this almost otaku of superheroes, where he charts them in his little journal, mm-hmm. like what their powers are. You know, anytime he sees a fight, you know, he's there. And then basically, he gets into a situation where he tries to help out a schoolmate who's being attacked,
mm-hmm.
and he basically impresses the superhero people so much that he, a way I don't want to give it too much away, but he basically receives a power in
yeah.
a way from a superhero, and it becomes this really crazy anime, really, after that point.
Yeah.
Because you have this character that he has this, you know, burning passion that he has to be this superhero and he has to succeed, but at the same time he has a power he cannot control.
Yeah, and when you say that he can't control, it's not like, you know, he shoots fire from his hands and they go, and the fireballs just happen to go everywhere. He didn't have enough time to really train
yeah.
with this power, and so every time he uses his power, he severely injures himself.
Yeah, so there's this amazing scene in when he first goes into you have to do trials to get into this mm-hmm. into this high school because into the superhero high school is the hardest thing, and there's a situation where there's a giant robot, right? He jumps up and essentially he punches this giant robot, right? Now, imagine this. If you've seen One Punch Man, you yeah. know what One Punch Man does, right? When Midoriya punches the robot, imagine One Punch Man using his punch that destroys something, but when he uses the punch, it breaks his arm.
Yeah.
That's the situation our character's in. He cannot control the power yet, so he has, like, basically a god power,
yeah.
but he can't control it, so it damages himself.
Yeah.
And so these first, like, few seasons is him trying to adapt to this new power and mm-hmm. become a hero, and it's, like, so freaking great.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the amount of times that he has to do something and he avoids using his power,
yeah.
like, you know, he'll use martial arts.
Yeah.
Or he'll use, you know, it's kind of like Rock Lee, you know? It's like,
it is 100% like
taijutsu
yeah.
because
yeah.
he didn't have any of the other powers to use, really.
100%. Like, yeah.
yeah.
I mean, they figured out a way in this show to give Superman some real issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's so much worse than kryptonite. Because kryptonite's just like, oh, look, randomly my cereal has kryptonite in it, whatever. But this is like an actual real problem.
Yeah.
This is a guy who is trying to use his powers to gain acceptance in this world and also to fight against villainy. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on. Any time he uses power, he could basically paralyze himself.
Yeah.
He could kill himself. Mm-hmm. And it's nuts. The show is so great.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and the whole cast of characters are so interesting. The teachers are really cool. The rest of the students that he's with are really cool.
Yeah.
The way that he, like, you know, starts making friends is just, like, you get behind him so early because he's so passionate and all he wants to do is help. He wants to be a superhero to help, be, like, out of completely pure, unselfish reasons.
Oh, 100%.
And, you know, and it's just, it's such a beautiful thing. Whereas some of the other people that are there, you know, they want to be the number one hero for other reasons.
Yeah, because they want to be famous or rich.
Yeah, because that's the thing, you know, based on their ranking, the superheroes get paid.
Oh, exactly, yeah. Well, it's a bit like the anime Tiger and Bunny in that way, where these superheroes are like state-sponsored celebrities.
Yeah. Tiger and Bunny, another great anime.
Tiger and Bunny's also great, yeah. It's funny. With Tiger and Bunny, I really like it a lot, but I think there's these two kinds of anime sometimes, and I hate saying that because there's more than two kinds, but for my example, there's two kinds. There are ones that veer more towards adults that are a little more like bleak than in nihilistic, and I think that Tiger and Bunny's like that. And then there's the shonen for younger kids that it's more positive. But what's really dope about anime, what people don't understand about anime, which really frustrates me, is they can have it both ways.
Yes.
So in something like My Hero Academia, that like the actual basic plot like an 8-year-old boy could get into because it's all about like doing awesome in school and stuff like that, can also have the most horrifically violent scenes in it and can be so insane where like somebody like me who's like well beyond a kid in his 30s, I'm just like, this is really scary. This is nuts.
Yeah. And you know, we've talked about this before and we've just talked about anime in general, but I do want to say, for any of you who are like, you guys are adults, why are you watching these cartoons?
Yeah.
You need to understand what goes behind anime.
Yeah.
Like, what the history of it is. And to just give you the briefest of histories, the reason that anime really started was because they wanted to do the things in Japan that Hollywood could do. The big budget, blockbuster, special effects, really cool action stuff. But they didn't have the budgets to do it.
Yeah.
And so they turned to animation, which they did have the ability to create these same kind of scenes. And so when they make anime, it's not just a kid thing the way that we see it here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It's something for all ages. And, you know, and certain ones are specifically made for an older audience. Certain ones are made for a younger audience.
Right.
And certain ones are made for everyone.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
This is one of those.
Definitely. And other also real quick, and I'm not really going to go through it because you guys probably already know it, but on the anime side too, if you haven't seen Death Note, love Death Note.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great anime. And, don't watch the
live action
movie, and if you're gonna watch it, you should watch the anime first. But let's move on from My Hero Academia. There are so many movies I want to mention because there's so many movies that I take for granted that not everyone has seen, and that's a big part of this list too. Is this list is almost like a science experiment.
Yeah,
I spent so many years being like, you should watch this movie, you should watch that movie, and people that I know who are like film people who are just into pop culture, they're like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what? So we gotta do this. So first off, and for some of you, you're gonna roll your eyes because you're like, oh, this is obvious, but for a lot of you, it won't be. If you like any martial art movies at all, you have to see The Raid Redemption.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now, The Raid Redemption is actually the first of
it's
the Raid
series. It's
the
first movie,
If you're, you know, finding it like a Japanese version, it might just be referred to as The Raid, like an import.
Yeah, Indonesian, yeah.
Indonesian, yeah, sorry. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's Indonesian.
It's Indonesian,
I keep forgetting where it's from.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Indonesian version, if you get some sort of import, it'll probably just be called The Raid. Mm-hmm. There's also the sequel, The Raid 2.
And, yes.
But in America, for whatever reason, they couldn't call it The Raid.
Yeah,
So if you find one from here, you know, if you find it streaming or something, it'll probably be called The Raid Redemption.
Yeah,
watch
exactly.
that before you watch The Raid 2.
I know, it's confusing, but it is called The Raid Redemption. And it's really the best, it's really kind of the best thing ever. You know, I watched it again not too long ago, and I really thought to myself, you know, this might be, I don't know. I will say it's the best modern martial arts movie.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. It's hard for me to say this might be the best martial arts movie ever because there's so many great martial arts movies. But this one is, like, really up there.
Yeah.
It is exceptional. It's really exciting because they use a martial art called Salat Pencak that's more like, it's a little more like it is like Kung Fu, mm-hmm. but it's from Indonesia. It's a brutal martial art.
Yeah.
It's just like, they're just like wailing on one another and they're like elbowing and kicking and punching and it's so insane. And the way it's shot really showcases the fighting. There's not a lot of quick cuts. So you really can tell what's going on and it's brutal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really great because if you've ever seen the movie Dread, basically the movie Dread kind
yeah.
of basically took its idea from The Raid.
Yeah.
Because essentially all The Raid is you start off and there's this team of SWAT guys, these Indonesian SWAT guys who are going into this giant building that's run by a drug gang.
Yeah.
And they're going to clean it out. And that's the orders they've been given. And you follow this one cop, who's played by the amazing, I think it's Iko Uwe, and essentially they go in there and everything goes bad really
yeah.
quickly. And you follow Iko and these two other cops while they try to essentially survive the day
mm-hmm.
in this crazy, and the guys have like machetes and everybody knows how to fight. And
everyone is going after them.
Everyone's trying to kill them because there's the guy upset. I mean, what's funny is it is easily, I know you're probably thinking already, this sounds like a video game.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, the basic structure is like an old brawler, like Streets of Rage or something like that. And it is so phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's great. In its simplicity, it's amazing.
And by the way, you know, you brought up that Dread took a lot of its idea from that. If you didn't see Dread because you remember the old Judge Dread movie,
yeah.
and you're like, no, there's no way this could be good.
Yeah.
See Dread, because Dread is also cool.
It's great.
And honestly, one doesn't take away from the other.
Yeah.
You know, they clearly got the, you know, took an idea from it and were like, yeah, that's brilliant. That's
going
to be awesome. But they work, like, it doesn't feel like a complete copy, just the base idea of it.
100%.
Yeah.
Now, since we're, can we just kind of blow through some of our martial arts stuff right now,
sure.
since we're talking about? So The Raid is for sure. And also, guys, I really have to emphasize this with you guys, and this is something I learned a little more recently, is I think especially with you guys that have grown up more in the YouTube world, you're like, oh, I'll just watch the fight scenes online. I gotta be honest, it doesn't cut it. It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's like you need the context of what's going on in the story to make those fights really matter.
Yeah, yeah, because you do become emotionally invested with the characters, and it's like, the fight scenes, watching them online, you might still be like, that is amazing.
Yeah.
I wish I could do that kind of stuff. Like, oh my god, look, those guys are flipping all around and kicking each other and whatever. But when you're going with the character
mm-hmm.
and you're like, oh my god, that guy like needs to like, you know, get revenge for his family
or save his brother.
Yeah.
100%. And the thing is, like, you need the stakes for it all to matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need to be worried about the character. It's funny, even the movie Yip Man, you know, there is, which is great. If you haven't seen Yip Man, you should definitely see it. If you don't know, it's IP Man. It's Donnie Yen. And what's crazy is like the great Sammo Hung constructed the fights is there's like an evolution, right?
Yeah.
Where like the first fight he has with the guy, he's such a master, Donnie Yen, that he just kind of is playing around with the guy, but respectfully, but he doesn't go all out. And then he gets to the point where after Japan attacks and they're like killing like innocent Chinese people, Yip Man fights like 7 Japanese soldiers and like annihilates them in like the most brutal way possible. But if you just watch the scene, it's like, cool. If you watch it watching the movie, you're like, this is the most intense thing I've ever seen in my life. So please don't just go onto YouTube and like look up these fights. Like, see these movies, because to me, It really takes something away from it if you don't. So, a few of the other martial art ones I really want to mention because I think they're phenomenal. And if you guys haven't seen it, you should. There's a Jet Li movie called Kiss of the Dragon, mm-hmm. which is amazing. It is one of those, it's actually one of those Luc Besson movies from a few years ago. He didn't direct, he produced it, but it's super amazing. But there's actually two of the more classic, like, 70s movies that I really have to get behind if you've never seen them before, because we did a huge sort of thing a few years ago where we watched a ton of kung fu movies, yeah. all from the 60s and 70s, and there were a bunch we picked up on that we hadn't really heard of. So, first one is, one of my favorite kung fu movies of all time is called Heroes from the East.
Yeah.
It is so great, and the reason it's so great is not because Lau Kar-Lu is one of the best kung fu directors of all time. It's not because Gordon Liu is one of the best kung fu fighters, actors of all time.
Which he is.
But this movie is amazing because it is, in essence, a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
This movie has Gordon Liu, and he is this badass Chinese kung fu practitioner, right? And his father is a rich businessman. And his father, his business partner, is a rich Japanese guy. And so they arrange a marriage between Gordon Liu and this Japanese woman. And the two of them come together, and it is... obviously, they're not going to get along. It's fire yeah. and ice. You know, Gordon Liu's a kung fu guy. We find out that she is a karate practitioner, and they're just not getting yeah. along. They're fighting like cats and dogs. And it turns into this really interesting movie where essentially she complains about him in a letter to all of the people in her karate school. And so, like, six dudes from Japan come over to China to fight him. And there's all this crazy stuff going on. And it's a really great movie.
It's really fun. There yeah. are definitely some moments where it's like, that is really awkward, you know, male-female
yeah.
dynamic.
Yeah.
But you have to take it in the context of the time that it's yeah. set in.
Yeah, and the time it was made, too.
The time
yeah.
it was made and where it comes from.
Yeah.
That, yeah, but be
still,
prepared.
Yeah.
It comes off very awkward from a modern American sensibility.
And let me ask you, because I could be wrong. Am I mansplaining this? Is it not cool? Would women not like this movie? I feel like it's fun, but I could just be a guy who doesn't know any better.
I think if you're into martial arts movies and you also kind of dig romantic comedy,
yeah.
like you'd be into it. I think
I like how like she's a badass.
She is. I still think that there are some things that as a woman
yeah.
are like.
Oh man, really? So now I'm just a big sexist recommending big sexist movies.
Because like I said, you know, when you take it in context of when the movie is taking place,
yeah.
which is like, you know, a
which is
when,
like the 1800s or
yeah,
something. Yeah.
When the movie was made
yeah.
and you
okay.
know, the rest of that it's a different story, but yeah.
And one more from that time period from literally the same director and actor is Legendary Weapons of
oh
China.
Oh my god, so fun.
Ooh, that movie is so good.
It's so
the martial arts are amazing, the actual storytelling,
yeah.
it's all about
it's
corrupt. It's so great.
It's got some comedic elements to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it does.
Like,
yeah, Alexander Fushane is in
yeah.
it. Only in a comedic role.
Yeah.
This is at the point where they're like, this guy can't hang in kung fu anymore. Let's just make him, like, do something funny.
Which is great, because he was also always good at being
yeah,
funny.
Yeah. But this movie, basically, Gordon Liu plays the Shaolin monk Terminator.
Yeah.
Like, he's amazing. And the movie is absolutely great. So,
yeah.
I recommend all of those movies if you're a kung fu fan. Let's move on from kung fu. Let's do something
okay.
else. What do you want to
talk
about
now? We can go back to some of the other
yes.
martial arts themed ones
yeah.
later.
Well, I'm sorry. See, look at me being a big old sexist. What do you want to recommend? Is there any martial art movies you want to recommend?
Well, I mean, you know, it's like one of the ones that you have on here that I absolutely love, Shaolin Soccer.
Shaolin
which is
Soccer, yeah.
Martial arts based, but it's
yeah.
it's comedy.
Well, it's Stephen Chow.
Soccer based, yeah.
Yeah, Stephen Chow. It was right before Kung Fu Hustle.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a great comedy. It's a great
yeah.
sports comedy.
It really is, yeah.
Yeah, it's a ragtag bunch of misfits.
Speaking of sports comedy, you want to get back to anime for a second?
Let's
on
do
sports
it.
Comedy?
Yeah.
What is our favorite sports comedy anime?
Probably iShield 21.
iShield 21. Now, if you have listened to Geek World even a modicum over the last few years, you know we've mentioned iShield 21.
Yeah.
I can't stop mentioning it. It's such a fun, weirdly uplifting anime. I can't even deal with it.
Yeah. One of the funny things about sports anime is that even if you're not into the sport,
yeah.
you can get so into the anime.
Yeah.
And you actually start to learn a little something about the sport.
Yeah, well, that's what's really crazy. Like, this has happened with us three times now, where, like, you don't, like, I, well, Listen, I played football in high school. No big deal. You're so cool. But I know. I'm really cool. Whatever. No, but listen, like, you don't even like football.
No.
And you love Ice Shield 21. Oh, yeah. Neither one of us really like basketball. Yeah. We love slam dunk.
Totally.
And neither of us really, other than what we learned from Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift, neither one of us knew much about drifting until Initial D.
Yeah.
And those are all great sort of sport-like animes. But Ice Shield 21, for me, has got a place in my heart. I just... there's a few, going back to like Heroes in the East, there's a few questionable things in that, especially when it comes to race relations.
Yeah.
And a few times that happened much later in the series, and I'm like, oh guys, why'd you have to do that?
Yep.
But you know, it's like having the birthmark on a Mona Lisa. It's like, there are little things that aren't great, but overall, it's a phenomenal anime. I love it. It's so much fun. It's so great.
Yeah.
I can't recommend it more.
And again, you've got a main character. He's actually very similar to the main character in My Hero Academia.
Yeah,
you know, 100%. There's a lot of similarities. We tend to gravitate towards characters like that.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about the exact opposite of characters like that. And I want to talk about something that I feel is... a very underserved director that I want to mention and recommend his movies to, because he's one of those directors that I consider as good as a Stanley Kubrick, as good as a Steven Spielberg, and I don't think anyone watches his movies anymore. And that's David Cronenberg.
Mm.
I've been thinking a lot more about his movies recently. He's a true artist. A lot of his big movies came out in the 80s. And the first one I want to mention is the one you probably heard of and may have seen, is The Fly.
Yeah.
You know, he took this, like, really crappy 60s, like, kind of hilariously bad horror movie, and he made one of the best body horror movies ever made, if not the best body horror ever made, with one of the best Jeff Goldblum movies ever made, way before Jurassic Park. And it's just amazing. I mean, David Cronenberg did... he did the horror movie equivalent of like a lot of David Lynch stuff, but his stuff always made sense.
Mm-hmm.
David Lynch always sort of rested on the, like, it's all dreams, so it doesn't have to make sense. But Cronenberg's stuff always added up.
Yeah.
To a bigger extent. The one I really want to mention, though, is Videodrome.
Oh, yeah.
That movie, I feel like, is... as time goes on, you realize that certain movies were more prescient than other movies. For instance, like, you can really boil down a lot of the problems of what's going on in America today to what was talked about in Fight Club back in 99. I mean, it's very much the same stuff. It was just a little ahead of its time. And I think Videodrome is really ahead of its time for the kind of psychological issues we're having with the internet today, and the prevalence of information.
Yes.
And the different places we're going, and how people, I mean, are basically being altered in a lot of ways. And it's really, you watch Videodrome and you're like, this is woke, for lack of a better term. This is woke. And but also, it's really scary and really weird, and it's really dark. If you're under 18, I would not recommend watching it at home, because if your parents see you watching it, they're gonna be like, what is this? Or you're gonna be like, that's a great movie, you're not old enough to watch it, because it's very adult. This is not a movie I can recommend to somebody under 18, but it's really remarkable, and it's really gross. And listen, the movie ends with him having a flesh gun. So really, and a TV is in his stomach. So really, what more can you say?
Totally.
And it's probably like the most artistic thing I'm ever going to actually recommend. So you guys should probably see Videodrome. And also on top of that, with David Cronenberg, History of Violence is really amazing if you haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on a comic book.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, let's talk about comic books.
Let's do it.
So I put something on that list that I want you to talk about, because I know you love it, and it's your favorite story. It's your favorite graphic novel from this character. What is it?
Frankencastle.
Oh, this is so good.
So for those of you who don't know who Frank Castle is, it's the Punisher.
There he is.
And I absolutely love this arc of Frankencastle, where I don't remember exactly what happened, but essentially he died but was brought back to life as a Frankenstein.
Do you want me to give a real quick description of it?
Yeah.
So he fights, I think it's Dacon. He fights Wolverine's illegitimate son.
Yes.
And he, like, cuts him up so bad that he is essentially dead, for lack of a better term. And then, I think it might be Morbius, the living vampire, and his like little group of freaks all like get the pieces, and and resuscitate him as a new, as a Frankenstein.
Yeah, the thing is that there's so sort of like this underground society of the freaks, of the monsters, of sort of the Marvel Universe.
I can't believe, I think the only reason I remember it was Morbius Living Vampires because Jared Leto is going to be Morbius apparently. They just hired him to do that, and I'm just like, ah, you know what's on my mind? Morbius, the Living Vampire.
But yeah, so they
I just love that it's Morbius, the Living Vampire. Yeah, well. You're not allowed to say Morbius. Like, what's that? No, it's Morbius, the Living Vampire. Oh, sure, that Morbius.
Yeah, you know, it could be the other Morbius.
Ugh, so lame.
Just Morbius the Vampire, you know?
Well, he basically is like the nerdy scientist in this. It's so great. But yeah, Frankencastle's amazing.
Yeah, so he ends up with this group of the monsters of the Marvel Universe, and they want somebody to fight for them.
Yeah.
You know, and then who better to have fight for you than Frankencastle?
And it's interesting because, you know, the concept is funny and sort of out there, but at the same time, it's really, you get an interesting sort of inner monologue from the Punisher that's slightly different than it was before when he was like a man, and I just found it fascinating. I really loved it.
Yeah, no, there's bits of humor in it, there's, you know, a lot, there's messages, you know, the like, really good allegory in it, there's, it's just a really fun little series, and it's like, I don't know, I feel like it's only like 6 issues or something like that.
Yeah,
it's
short.
It's not very long.
Yeah, it's a mini, yeah.
It's an easy read, and it's super cool.
Also, if you guys have access to it, I don't know if they ever did a trade paperback or if it's easy to get access to, but there was a really great just one shot called Punisher Kills the Marvel Universe, which is truly one of my favorite comic books of all time. I think is it Garth Ennis? And basically, it's like the concept is the Punisher's family didn't get killed by the mob. They got killed during a fight between the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants and the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Punisher spends the rest of the story killing all of the heroes and villains of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's just one of the most brilliant pieces of revenge art I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Let's stick with comic books for a second.
Yes.
Is there anything that you would like to recommend that you really, really like?
I do. It's incredibly twisted.
Okay.
It's horrific. If you're into horror and can deal with body horror.
So is this Hello Kitty London edition you're talking about?
Yes, it is. Gyo. G-Y-O.
Oh my god, Gyo.
This is one of the most twisted things I have ever read. It's terrifying. It's the body horror in it is just, oh my god. It's disgusting, but like, you can't look away in a way. You know what I mean? Like, it's just,
yeah,
it's well conceived, and it will haunt your dreams.
Yeah, it's Junji Ito. He did that
really cool one,
Spirals.
Uzumaki.
Yeah. And he's kind of the preeminent horror mangaka.
Yeah.
And we got Gyo a few years ago, and it is so, it's so disturbing on so many levels, and I think part of it is really the illustrations. They're haunting. You know, he has a really great style that, it's not that it's necessarily, it's not like photorealistic, but it looks more real. It's not the, like, as much big eye sort of anime style. It's a little more realistic,
yeah.
And it just gives, when everything goes wrong, so much more of a unsettling feeling.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's well worth it. And also the hardback edition we have also has some of his
shorts,
like one-shot
short
ones, and they're really great.
Also terrifying.
Yeah, Gyo is tough, though. You're right, because you got to be like a real horror person to really be into it. It's dark.
Also, on a side note, one that's not a not a comic book, but a novella, sort of.
Yeah?
Is...
I know what you're going to say right now.
You don't?
No!
All You Need Is Kill.
Oh, sure. That one that Edge of Tomorrow is based on. Yeah,
so first off, Edge of Tomorrow, if you never saw that because you don't care about Tom
Edge
Cruise,
of Tomorrow is really
it's
good.
Actually worth seeing.
You're right, that should be on the list. That
right.
one's awesome.
But it is based on, like, very loosely based on this short story, All You Need Is Kill, which also has a anime, or not an anime, a
manga.
Graphic novel, manga based on it. But the novella came first,
it
and
did.
It's really
yes.
cool,
yeah.
and read that, because it's awesome.
It is really awesome. You know what's funny, though? All You Need Is Kill is the exact opposite of the next movie I'm going to bring up. So, I keep on getting this situation where there's a movie that I love and I think is great, and I would never put on a recommendation series because I feel like everyone's like, no, duh, I love to have seen that movie, but like nobody has.
Mm-hmm.
That movie's hot fuzz.
Oh my god, I love that movie.
I love that movie so much. So, it is,
it's Edgar Wright.
Yep. Thank you. Edgar Wright, it's his second of the Cornetto trilogy. It's after, he made it after Shaun of the Dead. Sorry, let me backtrack real quick. Edge of Tomorrow, a lot more people have seen than you'd expect. The story of Edge of Tomorrow was that it was a bomb, but I swear, every time I talk about Edge of Tomorrow, everyone has seen it.
But they didn't see it in the theater.
No, they saw it afterwards.
Word of mouth through people saying the things that we've been saying. Yeah. No, seriously, it's actually good.
Yeah.
By the way, I think it's also now called Live, Die, Repeat.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's the exact opposite for Hot Fuzz. I literally assume everyone has seen Hot Fuzz because it's so brilliant.
Yeah.
And really, they haven't. And I've seen it multiple times. I mean, this movie basically is both a parody, but also pastiche of the sort of American action film.
Yeah.
Basically, this is one of those with Nick Frost and Simon Pegg. And Simon Pegg plays a super cop. We kind of talked about him, I think, a little on a super cop show we did, named Nick Angel, who essentially is so good at his job that he's making everybody else on the London police look bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so they essentially make him move to this little town where there's no crime so he can just go away and they can, like, get their budget back or whatever.
Yeah.
And he ends up going to this little town. Everything seems perfect. But, of course, it's not.
There's a seedy underbelly where he realizes that, oh, wait, there is actually crime here. It's just no one talks about it or realizes it.
And it's this really great movie where not only really great comedy, but the horror is really excellent because there's a kind of like a weird sort of 70s English horror vibe to it.
Yeah.
And there's like a killer about. Yeah, suspense. And there's like a serial killer about. And it's really exceptional.
Yeah.
And one of those movies that I couldn't recommend more.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the whole Cornetto trilogy is great.
Yeah.
But Hot Fuzz, I think, stands above and beyond.
Hot Fuzz is my favorite. I mean, so I know Shaun of the Dead's great and I love Shaun of the Dead, but like, I will take Hot Fuzz on any second.
Yeah.
And especially if you guys love Baby Driver.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same director, mm-hmm. and it's the same kind of vibe.
Yeah.
A little less sexy. Those guys, it really isn't a sexy there is movie.
It's not sexy.
I mean, Timothy Dalton is kind of sexy in his own way, you know. But it's really, really great.
Yeah.
So what do we want to mention now? I do want to mention real quick, actually, going back to comic books, if you're a lot younger, then you probably have never read the Crow graphic novel. I highly recommend it. It's one that I read when I was very young. I read it because of the movie with Brandon Lee came out. Which, by the way, if you haven't seen the movie with Brandon Lee, it's kind of great. And will always make me sad that poor Brandon Lee died way before his time. The James O'Barr comic book of The Crow is exceptional. It's a little weird when you first read it because... Basically, he wrote and drew the comic book as a way to deal with the suffering of losing his fiance in a tragic accident. Mm-hmm. And what's really interesting is he did it by himself over a period of years while he was working a factory job. And so you can really tell because everything in this very contained, like, one or two night story feels very disjointed.
Yeah.
Like, the dialogue's all over the place, the drawings especially all over the place.
It's
like,
funny, because usually this would be a reason not to read something.
Yeah,
but it's the exact opposite.
It's the exact opposite, because it's true art. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing about it. You're seeing the psychology of James and how he's dealing with his suffering through the art and the writing, and it's really beautiful. It's funny, because as a kid, I read it, and I was like, this is so badass and dark and stuff, and as an adult, you know, having found love and all those other things, it was such a touching thing to read. It really is mm-hmm. a beautiful. Like, I read it like less than a year ago.
Yeah.
And it's just unbelievable. But also some of the most punk, badass, freaking things in it I've ever seen. I mean, I will say the only thing I will say that's a negative to it is that the dialogue of the bad guys is really poorly written.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I was like a, you know, sort of, you know, trigger warning, you know, Twitter person, I would just dismiss it as sort of a latent racism. But I don't think it's that. I really just think it's like a kind of a guy who was very secluded, and the only time he ever like heard anything from a gang member was on TV or a Charles Bronson movie.
Yeah.
And so the dialogue seems very like not realistic when it comes to the bad guys. But when it comes to The Crow, it's beautiful, it's eloquent, it's poetic, and it's just a really wonderful story. So mm-hmm. can't recommend it more.
And then I'll give another one. This one's an Image comic.
Yeah.
Chew.
Oh, I love Chu so much. Yeah, Chu's great.
Chu is so crazy. It's this world where a lot of people have these weird powers.
Yeah.
So once again, that can be, but when I say weird, I mean super weird.
Super weird,
like,
yeah.
Our main character, Tony Chu, his uh-huh. power is that he can see the entire history of something, but he has to eat it.
He has to eat it first, yeah.
And so, you know, that leads to some hilarious and gross situations.
So if he has a hamburger, he has all the memories of the cow,
yeah.
Including when it was born and when it died.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
yeah, I believe he found that the only thing that he can, like, eat is
beets. Yeah, that's it. Beets
yeah.
are the only thing that does have memory. But basically, of course, this means he ends up being a cannibal for good.
Yeah, and he's a cop,
and
so,
cop,
yeah, that he uses his cannibalism, essentially, to, you know, solve crimes.
I will have to say, though, as much as I love the CW, they completely...
dropped the ball? Or what?
No, they
ripped
it off.
Ripped it off, yeah.
They literally took what made Chu special
yeah.
and co-opted it for iZombie.
Yeah, I forgot. I was thinking you were
so dark.
Talking about another network, because I think
no.
someone was supposed to make
yeah,
a version
supposed,
of it.
They were supposed
totally
to
drop the ball.
Yeah, but no, I remember when we first
yes.
saw iZombie, I'm like, that's messed up, guys.
Yeah, yeah, especially because apparently in the iZombie comic book, that's not
it. That's not it.
Not
no,
it.
They,
yeah.
they literally ripped off Chu.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly, yeah, anyway, whatever. It is what it is. iZombie's been on for years, and good for them, and it's a fun show.
Yeah.
But Chu is a great comic book. Really well worth it. Oh, man. All right. So how much time do we have left? I can't read
minutes.
That. 20 minutes, really?
Yeah.
All right. Let's run through some quick stuff real quick, and then I want to get to what I think is actually one of the more interesting portions of this show.
Okay.
So are there any other things that we really want to make sure we... Okay. I actually added onto the comic book list something that you... told me to read, and that's
yeah.
Carnage USA.
Yes.
That is a great, like, mini. That's, like,
yeah.
six issues, I think.
And I feel like with Venom coming out, like,
yeah.
it's a good one to sort of give you a little bit more of an understanding as to what the symbiote can do to people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and Carnage is so bad.
Carnage is so
and
bad.
And the art is, especially,
oh,
the cover art
God.
Is exceptional, but the art in the comic book is also
it's
really
so
great.
It's so good. Yeah, no, it's essentially Carnage takes over this entire town, and they have to send in all of the symbiote agents
mm-hmm.
to try and take him out, because they send in the heroes, and it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, real quick, some other ones I want to get to. Video games. If you have a PlayStation, you need to own Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yes, you do.
It's one of the best games I've ever played in my life. I mean, I will have to say, of anything, I feel like I'm an expert on video games, because when we were born, you know, the Nintendo had just come out, and so really, I have been playing games my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I feel like I'm as much an expert on video games as any random person who played video games their whole life.
Yeah.
And I feel like really, like, Horizon Zero Dawn has reached kind of a new level for me in storytelling. But I will say, not only in storytelling and the main character, who I absolutely love, Aloy, but also just in how truly open and what's the word? Open and sort of amazingly broad the world is.
Yeah, how vast,
like, the
it
actual
is, how, yeah,
but the way the engine works
yeah.
is amazing. Like, everything seems to have cause and effect. The physics are great. You know, everything is really complicated but not buggy. I mean, Guerrilla Games just went out of the way of making a truly remarkable world, and
yeah.
the combat is amazing. The combat
so
is some of the coolest stuff I've ever seen. You're always under siege by these machines. It's just really great, and it's also for sci-fi people like us who like things like Planet of the Apes and other, like, really kind of more heady sci-fi. It like totally,
oh my God, yeah.
totally, like, wins in that regard too. So that one's really great. Also, frankly, if you can get access to it, I don't even know anymore where you can find it. But if you've never played a Katamari game,
yeah.
like Katamari Damacy or We Love Katamari, I highly recommend those.
You might
too.
Have to, like, go back and find yourself a PS3 or something.
Yeah.
But it's worth it if you can play it. That is
yeah.
like the most cathartic game ever. It's oh, just
100%.
Like, it's just entertaining.
Yes,
it's very silly.
Yeah,
and just. You wouldn't believe how much fun it is to roll things up in a ball.
So, anime, we're going to keep on going, but let me know when we only have 15 minutes left, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, also, one I want to mention, because I actually think it's on PS Plus maybe this month, is Heavy Rain.
Mm.
If you've never played Heavy Rain, oh boy,
it's
really good.
And
I mean,
and let me tell you, if you know anyone who is, like, convinced that video games are kid stuff...
Right. Play that game.
Play that game. Oof. Have them play that game, and they will realize, like, just how not kid stuff a video game can be and how much of a movie it can be, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these just, big sort of detective stories where basically you walk around and you try to solve stuff and you play multiple different characters. You play a guy named Ethan Mars who's trying to find his son who's been abducted. You play as a detective trying to Scott Shelby trying to find these kids that have been stolen, and it's really, really good and really tragic and really frightening in a way that is not like frightening in not a horror movie way, but frightening in a real world way. And you almost get to a point where you're like, I don't know if I want to play this game anymore. Kind of like The Last of Us gets.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I don't know. This is really tough. Let's see. Other than that, some movies I want to make sure you guys, one of the ones you put on the list that I really love is Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yes.
That's a great movie. That is a movie, Taika Waititi made right before Thor Ragnarok. Yep.
And it stars the kid that was,
Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
The kid in Deadpool 2, and Sam Neill from, Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
It is just a great movie.
It's really funny.
Yeah. It's really, really cool. Not only funny, but really sweet. Yeah. I remember it being my favorite movie of that year.
Yeah.
And you basically just, it's this adventure with this little boy who's an orphan and this this sort of outback man, and they're running from the authorities, and it all makes sense when you watch the movie, and it's really funny and heartwarming, and it's just great.
Yeah.
It's well worth it.
If you've never watched a Bollywood movie, I've got one that doesn't feel Bollywood, but it is, and it's called Joker. If you've been listening to our show for years, you may have heard us talk about this way back in the day. But it's a Bollywood movie. It starts off with a bunch of mental patients all running away from the asylum. They all escaped and they end up in this little town. This kid grew up there. He's like an adult now. He left the town and then he has to go back and help save the town.
Yeah.
And they do it by pretending they're aliens. It's fantastic.
It's really good.
It's super fun. Yeah. It's funny.
It is really
cute. It's heartwarming.
It's actually really funny, too, because it's one of those that in Bollywood didn't do well. I think it's because it's too, like, sci-fi, too nerdy, maybe?
Yeah, I think
but,
maybe, yeah.
But it's really good.
I feel like an American audience would get it.
Yeah,
15 minutes?
15 minutes. All right, well, let me take 1 minute out of that 15 because there's two other things I want to mention. I really want to mention these. First off, if you want to see something, that we're getting real art house here, guys.
Okay.
If you want to see something that's a true piece of art but also will make you feel a little sick to your stomach because it's so intense, you know what I'm going to say?
Old Boy?
No! Oh. No!
What? Oh!
Perfume.
Perfume.
Yeah.
Oh my god, they both have
They're both the same thing. We can talk about both. But yeah, but the movie Perfume, it's based on a novel. Apparently the novel is actually a favorite of Kurt Cobain's. I found that out randomly seeing a Kurt Cobain interview a few months ago. But Perfume is a Tom Tykwer movie. Essentially, it's about, it's about a serial killer that's in France in, I think, what, the 1700s, maybe? And he's got this whole smell thing, and it's just really...
It stars Ben Whishaw, who plays the new Q.
Yeah, the new Q, yeah. He's amazing in it, and it's really disturbing on so many levels, but also because Tom Tykwer made Run Lola Run is so good, it's really beautifully shot, and it's really wonderful, and, you know, once in a while, you gotta watch an art movie, guys. You gotta watch something, and you'd be like, art, and that's the one you should do. And other than that, not for the squeamish, certainly when it comes to sexuality or violence, but Old Boy.
Yeah.
Boy howdy. The Korean film is exceptional in every way possible.
And let me leave this list off on a few anime movies that are fantastic.
Yes.
The Boy and the Beast.
Oh, I love The Boy and the Beast.
Oh my god, that'll
so
just warm your heart.
Yeah.
And Your Name, which is it's funny, it's heartwarming. It's a little, like, it's a young love story.
I call Your Name the Titanic of anime movies.
Huh.
For me, it's the great love story of anime.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, it's so good. It makes you feel, you just want to jump up in the air and, like with your fist up in a freeze frame because everything is great. It's like, such a great film. So lovely. I just, it kind of emotionally really got to me.
Yeah.
Like, right down to my core. Right down to the gooey bits, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, so, guys, we're going to do something very special for this one show. I don't want to say, don't anyone call this pandering, because I don't think it's pandering. I think it is super cool.
Yeah.
I've been looking at our analytics lately, right?
Like,
and a lot of you guys listening, you guys are younger millennials. And I realize over the years that, you know, we need to have a little moment here where we reflect on the fact that, you know, first off, millennials, we're like a wide wide gap, right? Like, we are on the very early edge of millennials, but there's people who are much later millennials that have not seen the stuff we have.
Yeah, I mean, we know a lot of this from friends of ours who are younger than us, who just, like, we do not have the same frame of reference for a lot of things.
So this is the moment we come together right now, okay? So this list is for not only for people that are younger millennials and maybe even under, that are, like, you know, basically under 30. This is a list for them, but also a list for the people that are in our age group that maybe kids you're working with right now that are 21, 22, maybe you think they've seen these things,
but they
probably have not. Yeah. And so you need to, like, instead of go like, bah, you gotta go, oh, okay, I get it. This movie came out before they were born.
Yeah.
I should be like, yeah, you should see this. So this is the millennial edition of this little list here, okay? Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, and I mentioned this, I think the last show we did, but I cannot emphasize enough The Genius, which is 1987's RoboCop.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
If you have not seen RoboCop, you need, once the show is over, finish listening to the show, find a way to watch RoboCop.
That being said...
Not the Joel Kinnaman one.
No, not the Joel Kinnaman one. That being said, you know, you're probably going to watch it and you're going to go, that's so cheesy, that's so goofy. You have to push that aside because... Yeah. For the time, for what they were going for, it fits. Yeah.
I will say that is a good rule for all of these things. Because the thing about the 80s, especially, is it was kind of a cheeseball time.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was having fun. Even the hyperviolence was cheesy. So you got to accept that these were the times. You know, it's almost like when you look back at, like, the 50s movies and the musicals, and you're like, what is going on? Why is everyone just running around dancing and singing all the time in every single movie?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's just the time period. But RoboCop is a satire. It's brilliant. It's funny. It is so violent.
Yeah.
So messed up. Well worth it.
I'm going to bring up Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, man.
This is the quintessential Batman cartoon.
The coolest Batman has ever been.
Like, whatever Batman that you've seen in cartoon form, TV show, this is the ultimate. It is, it's like noir detective, like, amazing Batman. The graphics of it, the art of it is gorgeous. It's where Harley Quinn was introduced.
Yes, where she was invented. Like,
It's
Mark
brilliant.
Hamill as the Joker. It really was the cartoon that I think made us all realize. I would say this cartoon made Batman cooler in my life period than any comic book or movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, when I think about Batman, I think of the Batman animated series Batman. 100%. I would definitely say, and this one, by the way, everyone, there's going to be a large crop of the people listening right now are going to roll their eyes because they're like, no, duh. But I have to say it because I know many people that have not seen this movie and it shocks me to the core. But Die Hard, guys.
Really?
Die Hard, guys. There's some people who have not seen Die Hard. And we need to remedy this situation.
You know, it's...
Because you, like, okay... This is not, I'm about to say something, and this is not me, this is not hyperbole, this is not me joking. Die Hard is the best action movie ever made. In any country, ever. You have to see Die Hard.
Well, you know, I've got one that theoretically might rival that, but is also shocking to me when people haven't seen it. Terminator 2.
Yeah, I had this was the moment when I realized that this was something we had to do on a show.
Yeah.
Is many years ago, I worked with a girl who was 20 at the time. This was back in, I think, 2012, maybe. And she didn't know what I was talking about.
Yeah.
When I talked about T2, I was like, oh, okay. This is a new world.
It's
a new world order. Because for
so
me,
good.
That
holds
movie.
Up.
Yeah, I mean, that came out when we were kids.
Yeah.
But it was like Avatar. It was like the movie.
Well, it's one of those especially weird ones because even the effects actually hold up.
Yeah.
Like,
100%.
And that's kind of shocking.
They really do.
Especially
this scene
for
where...
the liquid metal, like a character is liquid metal. For those effects to still really hold up is bizarre.
Yeah, yeah. The one, I especially the scene where he goes through the metal bars is, like, pretty exceptional. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be things, you know, now you're going to be like, okay, but still, like, when you really look at the context of that time, it's crazy how good they look. Yeah, T2 is great. I mean, it's for me, definitely better than the original Terminator. Really great. Okay, once again, though, guys, this is the millennial edition, so don't get mad at us when we say things like this, but... If you haven't seen First Blood, You need to see First Blood,
which is the first.
It
Rambo
is the very
movie,
first
the
Rambo movie. It is. If you ever wonder, like, I don't get why Sly is like was like the biggest action star of the 90s. Practically, it's because of First Blood.
Yeah.
I mean, Rocky was one path. First Blood was the other.
Yeah.
First Blood is how we got, you know, Cobra and Demolition Man and everything that came after. First Blood is an amazing. Is an amazing film. It's a film about a guy who comes back from Vietnam, a broken man with PTSD, even before they really knew what PTSD was. Mm-hmm. I think they called it shell shock back then or something. Who knows? Anyway, he came back and he was walking through a small town and the sheriffs there were super bullies to him.
Yeah.
And they basically torture him. He gets out and he lays siege on the town. It is so 2018. I mean, think about it. Think about what's going on in the news right now. We got a guy just trying to live his life. The cops are roughing him up.
They think he's a hippie.
Because they think he's
a long-haired hippie, but he's actually a vet of like one of the most elite units.
Guys, this is the movie to watch.
Yeah.
Right now, everyone's so mad at cops, as they should be. Watch First Blood. Yeah. This movie's like, yes! They knew it. And then you start getting sad, and you go, you know what? Is everything cyclical?
Yeah.
Is there ever going to be a time where we move past anything? And the answer is no.
No, apparently
we're never going to move past anything. It's always going to come back.
Yeah, someday we'll deal with all of our stuff, but, you know.
Yeah, literally.
Until then, it will just be a cycle.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a phenomenal movie and well worth it.
Yeah. I've got a comedy one.
All right.
Monty Python, The Holy Grail.
Yeah. 100%. You got to see that movie.
If you haven't seen any Monty Python, then you really are missing out. But Monty Python and The Holy Grail is sort of the penultimate. Of it. It's sort of it's the one that like is one of the most quotable things that they have.
Yeah.
You know, you have probably heard TV shows and people that you know quote it and you don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
It's a hilarious take on the search for the Holy Grail and the Knights of the Round Table. It's fantastic.
So one of the ones I want to leave off on, I know we don't have too many minutes left, but I've been thinking a lot about this movie lately, and I gotta be honest, I think this movie is one of the few movies, it was made in the 70s. I believe it's actually scarier as time goes on than it was when it came out.
Okay.
And that's Taxi Driver.
Huh.
Guys, if you haven't seen Taxi Driver, actually, Taxi Driver is a perfect one for this, because if you're a millennial, a younger millennial who hasn't seen Taxi Driver, or if you're an older millennial who has seen Taxi Driver, either one, both watch them. Because if you're younger, you're going to be like, this movie's terrifying. This movie's insane. And this movie's about a spree shooter, essentially. Who's a hero.
Yeah.
If you're older and you've seen Taxi Driver, you're going to look at it in a new way. You're going to be like, this movie could take place right now.
Yeah.
This could be the guy who picked me up in an Uber.
Yeah.
There's no time period where this movie doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it's because it is about disenfranchisement in the world we live in.
Yeah.
In this modern machine of a world we live in that just crumples people up. And how people, best laid plans, and I don't know. It's so hard to explain.
Yeah.
It's such a great film. I mean, it is basically about the postmodern cowboy. It's a postmodern hero who is just so violent, so insane, driven sort of insane by this loss of consciousness. And it takes place after the Vietnam War, but really, I'm sorry, but the conditions, especially right now politically, and even after all the wars we have in the Middle East, they're not that different from the Vietnam War at this point. I mean, how we all feel. We just feel disenfranchised about everything. And Taxi Driver is all about that.
Yeah.
And it was made in like 72 or something like that. It was made so long ago. So I think of all the movies, frankly, I think Taxi Driver has actually gotten better over the years. I would say Taxi Driver is a better movie now than when I saw it in like the late 90s, early 2000s.
I'm going to go and recommend an anime.
Okay.
Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, of course.
I'm sure it's one you've heard of. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
It's one of the best anime shows ever created.
For sure. If not the best, probably the best,
but,
right?
You know, it's if you are a millennial, you know, you like, you probably weren't watching it when it was on Adult Swim, you know, or you certainly weren't watching it when it came out. Like, it's amazing. The music in it is amazing. If you're a fan of music in general, like, watch Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, I mean, Cowboy Bebop's really cool. It's really different, too, because I think if you're younger and you've been watching a lot of anime, you probably watch, like, Naruto, and you've probably watched, like, Bleach, and, you know, some maybe My Hero Academia, things like that. And, you know, those are very, like, shonen-esque, like, young hero-type stories that are very serialized, you know, like, one episode leads to the next. Cowboy Bebop is the exact opposite. It is about a guy who's been through wars already. He's sort of checked out, but he's got to make a living as a bounty hunter. He's got this great cast of characters around him. And every episode is episodic. The episodes, there is an overall arc. There's an overall arc, but it's more like real life. It's like, you know what? I got to go get my license redone at the DMV. But every episode isn't going to be about me taking a step to get my license done. It's just sooner or later, I got to get my license. And so it'll come up. But like it's just a little more like real life, and the music is exceptional. And the action is great. It's the same group that went on later to do Space Dandy, which, by the way, this is the perfect way to end it. Oh my god, guys, if you haven't seen Space Dandy, that show is so much fun.
And by the way, I know a lot of people didn't see it or didn't continue it because they were like, oh, it's the guys that made Cowboy Bebop. And they went in expecting Cowboy
it's
Bebop.
It's the exact opposite.
It was totally not. It's just, it's goofy. It's fun. It's weird. It's silly. It's just, it's perfect in so many ways. So it is totally worth it.
I was about to make a joke, and I realized, like, nobody would understand it. I was going to say that Space Dandy was sort of like the, what is it called? What was that video game we played a long time ago where the guy was trying to pick up chicks all the time?
Leisure Suit Larry.
Space Dandy is the Leisure Suit Larry version of Cowboy Bebop.
You're so right.
I mean, it's like, it's basically the same world as Cowboy Bebop, but it's like Spike Spiegel's cousin who just wants to pick up chicks.
It's
amazing.
It really is.
It's so funny.
Well, at that, guys, we're out of time. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com, and be sure to check out our website, geekworldradio.com. We'll be back with you next week, same time, same place. Geek World.